Thank you, David, and thank you for being here tonight. David said that he stopped singing every now and then just to listen to you. I quit preaching every now and then just to see if any of you are snoring. But I certainly hope you don't tonight. But at any rate, if you'll turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Several years ago, Audrey and I had the opportunity to go to Fort Worth, Texas, and while we were there, we attended what they really commonly referred to as a self-improvement course. It actually was a course on personal evangelism. Many of you may have heard of Ivan Stewart, and it was an approach to what they call the open Bible study. And she and I had the opportunity to spend about a week in an intense study and actually deal with various objections that people have to the truth and how to confront people who object to that simplicity that we know in Christ and according to His Word. And so anyway, as we were doing that, one of the questions that I've been asked people who object to that simplicity that we know in Christ and according to His Word. And so anyway, as we were doing that, one of the questions that Ivan Stewart would pose to all of those in attendance was this question: if you died tonight, do you believe that you would go to heaven? If I were to ask you that question tonight, if you died tonight, do you believe that you'd go to heaven? What would you say? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here tonight, but it's a question that all of us ought to think about. It really is. Fanny Crosby wrote the words of that song, as I mentioned just a few weeks ago, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, and washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Preacher one time asked a little boy, he says, "Does Satan ever tell you that you're not saved?" And the little boy said, "Yes." And the preacher said, "Well, what do you tell him when he says that?" And he says, "Well, I just tell him it's none of his business." It is our business as God's people, isn't it, to be concerned about those who are lost, whether they're in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? That's an interesting question. And you know, most people, and I've asked a lot of people that question in personal Bible study, people that are not Christians, and I've asked them that question: if you died tonight, do you believe that you'd go to heaven? And let me give to share with you as a preface to what we're going to talk about here tonight, the assurance of salvation, what people often say. A lot of people will say, and this probably might be common to some of you tonight, "Well, I really don't know." Some might say, and do say, "Well, I hope so. I sure hope I make it." And others say, "Well, I think so." And others would say, "Hey, I'm just not sure. I'm really not sure that I would make it if I died tonight. Would I go to heaven?" I have encountered very few people who would really address that question with an affirmative answer: "Why, yes, I know where I would be if life ended for me tonight." Let me tell you why I think some people doubt the assurance of their salvation, and I hope that you don't, because I believe as God's people we have every right to be affirmative and to be able to be positive and say yes to that question. And I want to try to answer some arguments that people often present about that. Now, in the book of 1 John chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, John said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, when he talks about believing on the name of the Son of God, he's not talking about the average person that walks the street out there that has some kind of mental assent about God and that there is a divine force or being somewhere who controls the universe. But he's talking about those who are Christians. This epistle is written to Christian folks. It would be like me writing a letter to you, to those of you who are Christians, not to the outsiders. And this epistle here was not written to people that were not Christians, but to people that were. And so when John uses that word, when he says, I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, he said that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God again. He uses this concept of believing on the Son of God, not believing in the Son of God, if you look at it. And to believe, there is a difference between believing in something and believing on it. If you believe in it, it's as if you believe that it exists or the factual information is true. To believe on it means that you take it to heart and you understand it and you can take it to the bank. It is true. And there's no doubt about it. And he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know. I like that word. He didn't say that you may guess about it or that you may think about it, you may rationalize about it, but he said, these things are written that you may know. Now that's assurance, isn't it? That you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence. Here's that word again. This is the confidence that we have in him. That if anything we ask according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let me tell you now why I believe some people lack assurance of their salvation. And I believe that every Christian ought to have that assurance. And I think sometimes they fail to understand the scripture regarding salvation. I think a lot of people have the idea that if I don't say a little prayer right before I draw my last breath, then I'm probably not going to make it. I've heard people say, well, I hope I'm not killed in an automobile accident, or I hope if I have a heart attack, or if I'm on the bed of affliction, or in my sleep. How about that one? If I have not been able to say that last little prayer, God, forgive me of my sin, then I probably won't make it. I hope you don't think that tonight. Let me tell you why that is irrational. It would be impossible. You just stop and think about it in your dying moment. It would be impossible for us to truly understand the grace of God if we believe that. You see, the grace of God covers our sin. And the Bible says that if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all of our sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. In the same epistle to the church, John writes these words over in the first chapter. Now, what John is saying is that if we walk in the light, and that's a big if, all right, but God knows whether we're walking in the light. It's not a matter for me to judge you whether or not you're walking in the light, or for you to judge me whether I'm walking in the light. You see, whether or not I'm walking in the light is whether God understands that I'm walking in the light. We can often miscalculate one another and misjudge one another. And sometimes we do that a lot. Well, I think a lot of people fail to understand the scripture that we don't have to say that last little prayer. I'm not saying it's wrong to say it, but I thank God tonight that if I were to die in my sleep tonight, that I would not have to have said, God, forgive my sin, because God would have taken care of it already by the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, and I'll be honest with you, that is the assurance that I have tonight in Christ. You know, many of us go around with a cloud hovering over us. We really do. And most, the average Christian, and I mean this sincerely, does not believe they're going to make it to heaven if they don't say a little prayer before they die. But you know why I think a lot of times we don't have assurances? Because maybe we know that we're not walking in the light. If we knew that we were really walking in the light, we would know that the grace of God is going to take care of our sin. That's what it says. It doesn't say anything about asking for forgiveness in that text. Now, down in verse 9, it says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is true. But you see, if I have to verbalize everything, and John doesn't say that at all. He says that we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all of our sin. I think people also fail to realize that when they obey Christ, that they have been saved from their past sins. And here again, a lot of people don't have assurance because they believe that God just hadn't really honestly forgiven them of all those horrendous and horrible things that they did before they became a Christian. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. God forgives us when we are baptized into Christ and we come in contact with the blood of Jesus. God forgives us of all of our sin. Now, I have been around people in my lifetime who didn't really believe, and I've had them tell me even after they were baptized, you know, preacher, I know I was baptized and I know that I did the Lord's will regarding baptism, but it's just so hard to believe that God could really forgive me by just being baptized. You don't have to work to be forgiven. God freely forgives you by His grace and by His love. Grace is something that God gives. It's like I said this morning. When you talk about an inheritance is something that you don't have to work for. Someday our children will inherit everything that Audrey and I have. They don't have to work for it. As I've told you before, I hope they don't sell all of our little trinkets for a dime on the dollar. But, that probably will happen with many folk. But at the same time, they don't have to earn that inheritance. You didn't have to earn your inheritance, did you? I've inherited some things in my lifetime. I never felt like I had to get out there and work for it to get it. It was a gift, and it came to me, not because of any merit of my own, but it came to me as a free gift from someone who left it to me. That's what salvation is, isn't it? It is the free gift of God. Listen to the book of Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, there were some Pharisees who lived during the days of Jesus who were boasting about how righteous they were and how good they were and how, God ought to be pleased with their lives because they'd gone through all of those rituals and they'd done all those things that the law had demanded. And a lot of people, I honestly think, feel that same way. This morning I talked about church attendance and how important it is, and I really do believe it is. But I believe it's something we ought to do because we want to do it, not something we do because someone else feels we ought to do it or something we feel like that, hey, if I come on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, tickets punch, going to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. I honestly believe that there's some folks in our world, I'm not indicting anyone, but that can come on Sunday morning and on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. They can come to ladies' class. I mean, they can come to Monday night for the master and still go to hell. Because there are a lot of factors that enter into that. Attitude being one of them. Some fail, I think, to understand the love of God. And that God loves us so much that He forgives us. You know, when your children do something against your will, you don't stop loving them. You may correct them. And the Bible says, by the way, God said, those I love, I rebuke and chasten. And He does. And I think God does chasten us, and I think He rebukes us. And that's another lesson for another time. But I honestly believe it happens. But you don't stop loving your children because they disobey you and they do wrong. God loves us in spite of what we are. Isn't that what Romans 5 verse 8 is all about? That God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Sometimes people have doubt about their salvation because they allow the devil to place and create doubt in their minds. Let me tell you how that happens. Let's say, for instance, you're assured in your heart tonight that you're going to heaven, okay? And you believe that very strongly. And it would be very easy for someone to change your mind. Let me tell you how that works. You associate with the wrong folk, and they come along and they say, you don't really believe that, do you? Do you honestly believe that God's going to continue to forgive your sin? Do you really believe that? And then what happens is there's a doubt that starts developing in your mind. That seed of doubt is there. And did you know the Bible talks a lot about doubt? Doubt robs us of peace and joy. The Bible teaches that we're to rejoice in our found salvation, as did all men, including the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. But doubt prevents us. Doubt is something that dishonors God. When we doubt the grace of God, it really dishonors God. If God said he would forgive us and I doubt it, then that's dishonoring God, isn't it? The Bible says in the book of Matthew 28 that some worshiped him and some doubted. In the book of Luke chapter 12, the Bible says that we're not to be of a doubtful mind, because it does rob God of the honor that belongs to him. And Paul, by the way, in the closing days of his earthly sojourn in his ministry, in the book of 1 Timothy 2:8 says that we are to pray without wrath and without doubting. Sometimes people pray doubting. I've had people tell me, well, I really prayed about it, but I just don't know whether God's going to answer my prayer or not. Isn't that a form of doubt? When we say, well, I don't know whether God's going to answer my prayer at all. Doubt makes us fearful of death. Stop and think about that a minute. Why do people feel they've got to say that little prayer right before they die? It's because doubt makes us fearful of death. Paul did not experience that. As a matter of fact, in the book of 2 Timothy 4:8, verse 7, to the contrary, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, maybe in the event that Timothy had a doubt about it, and I don't think he did, but maybe he was writing it for our admonition, and so he writes to Timothy and he says, look, he said, I fought the good fight, and I've kept the faith. I've been walking in the light, Timothy, don't worry about me. I have kept the faith, I have finished the course, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not only to me, but to all of them that love him. Paul says, I have that assurance. And he said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know. What is the ground for your assurance? What's the grounds for my assurance? Well, let me tell you, you can't base your salvation on feeling. I've had people, and there again, you ask them, you say, well, do you believe if you die tonight, you're going to heaven? Well, I feel like I will. Don't base your salvation on feeling. Base your salvation on fact. Sincerity is not really the test, is it? No, it's not. Because a person could be sincerely wrong just as he could be sincerely right. Let me tell you how we can have assurance. Is if we know that we have become children of God, first of all. I would have all kind of doubt. Matter of fact, I'd probably have the assurance that I was going to hell if I wasn't a Christian because of what the Bible teaches. But it would create an immense doubt in my mind. But when I know that I became a Christian in God's way, that I believed his word, that I believed it so strongly, that I obeyed it, I confessed his name, I accepted him as my Lord and my Savior, I repented of my sin, I changed my life to meet the conditions of salvation, and that I was buried with Christ in baptism, and when I came out of that water, I would have the assurance of knowing that I had become, in fact, a child of God. And as a child of God, I become the recipient of his grace daily because of his great love. Now, that's the ground for my assurance tonight because I'm a Christian. But then there's another thought. What about the person that is the Christian and that he's obeyed these commands of God to become his child? Now, if I'm not a child of God, there's no hope. But if I am a child of God, what can I do to have the assurance that I'm going to go to heaven when I die? That is that I'm faithful and that I'm walking in the light. I don't think there's any other way you answer that question. Not really. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, that's what God says, isn't it? And if we have done that, Jesus said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. And to become a Christian, become a child of God, means that we get rid of our doubt. Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 8 says, "Yea, doubtless," he says, "doubtless, no doubt, I count all things loss that I may win Christ." And that's the confidence I have. And I believe that every Christian should be just as assured of his salvation. Because when you doubt, really, as I said, you're dishonoring God. I believe what God said, and I believe his word. And whatever God said and what John said here is absolutely true. Because these are not just his words. These are words that were Holy Spirit given, and they were God breathed for us. Let me read it again for you quickly. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Some people raise one other argument in closing here, and that is, well, doesn't the Bible say that God will blot someone's name out of the Lamb's Book of Life, now the Holy City? That's exactly right. When does he do that? When we become unfaithful. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I'm not trying to say that or suggest that in any way. Peter said, you know, it's better for a man to have never known the way of truth or righteousness than to know it and then depart from it. I think a man can be lost. And listen, you don't have assurance if you turn back and leave God. And when you stand in the face of a loving God in that day of judgment, if you've not walked in the light and you've not been fully committed unto God, you'll be lost. That's what the word teaches. It's not enough to raise some kind of argument with God when you stand before him in judgment and say, "Well, Lord, you know, you remember back on such and such date I was baptized?" People raise that argument all the time. I've had people do that at funerals. You know, people tell me, "Well, you know, they were a member of the church. Or they were baptized. You remember, you baptized them." And in my mind, I'm thinking, yes, but they never darkened the door since. Walking in the light and having assurance. God gives us assurance, but there again, it's based upon us being faithful to him. And like I said, it's very easy sometimes for those of us who profess Christianity to really be unfaithful to him. But if we're a Christian, we should never fear death. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. And so we don't have to fear it. Death may be the last enemy that is to be destroyed, according to 1 Corinthians 15, and that's true. Death is an enemy. But even in death there is blessing, isn't it? It was a blessing for Brother Ralph Wilson to die and go with be with God. But Ralph Wilson had suffered Alzheimer's for about the last 5 years. And as I stood by his coffin this afternoon, I couldn't help but think of all the years that that man had devoted his life unto God. And all the people that came to that memorial service in Tyler today understood his great love and his devotion and commitment to God. And his seed of faith that was planted so many, many times in the hearts of people. It was far better for him to go and be with God. But he left this world with assurance, and we can too. And you know what? I'm always happy, and I mean this, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm happy to be able to preach the funeral for someone who was a devoted child of God, because I know where they are. They are in the arms of Jesus. And I want, when I pass from this world, I want to have the confidence, and I do have it tonight, to know that the angels would bear my spirit into the very presence of God. I believe that with all my heart. I can tell you that as your preacher and as an elder in the church, and I believe it very strongly. And I hope you believe that. But if there's doubt in your mind, then, hey, folks, whatever you do, whether you respond tonight publicly or you don't, do something to get rid of that doubt and find that assurance that God wants you to have. It's so important. We're going to sing an invitation song tonight, and if you feel the need to respond to God, as we often suggest in a service like this, and you obviously have that opportunity to do that tonight, either to become a Christian by obeying the Lord and becoming His child, and then walking in the light and having that fellowship one with another.